Well, hello everyone. Good to be with you again today. I want to talk to you again today about the issue of sin. Not about trying to get you to see your sin, but wanting you to see that through the finished work of Christ at the cross, you were set free from sin's reign in your life. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 1. This is after Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, obviously didn't believe the story that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It's not like he had some precedent or knew somebody else in the neighborhood close to him that the same thing had happened to them. This had never been heard of before, so he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it until an angel came to him in the middle of the night and spoke to him, revealing to him that Mary was certainly pregnant and it was by the Holy Spirit. But this is one of the first things that he said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel said, "And she, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, God saves. For it is he who will save his people from their sins." We love to quote, particularly charismatic Christians love to quote from Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 8, that he came to set us free from sin. He came to set us free from the oppression of the enemy or the works of the devil. Well, the primary work of the devil is the issue of sin. And when mankind fell, it says in Romans chapter 5, sin entered into the world. And let me just read it to you. That'll be even better. I've got that page marked already. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death," that's talking about spiritual death here, "and spiritual death, spiritual corruption through sin. And so spiritual death spread to all people because all sinned, and all sinned in Adam's sin. He was our representative, and we were in him. And when he sinned, we were held accountable for his sin. We were all in him. He represented us, just like Jesus represented us at the cross. And in Christ, we all died, and in Christ, we were all risen, even though everybody doesn't accept the finished work of Christ, therefore they don't get to personally experience it. He accomplished it on behalf of humanity. What Adam did happened to humanity. And so sin entered into the world, and as a result, spiritual death entered into the world. Every person is born prone towards sinning, because they were born with Adam's nature, Adam's fallen nature, because they were born with spiritual death in them. They didn't accomplish or acquire spiritual death or become corrupt in their nature because they sinned. They sinned because they were corrupt in their nature. Every person is born that way. You know, an apple tree isn't an apple tree because it gives apples. It gives apples because it's an apple tree. And so the Lord came to set us free from sin's reign because sin robs us from experiencing the age to come kind of life, the abundant life that God created us to experience when he created Adam and Eve and when he saw you before the foundation of the world. He was already in love with you, already in love with me before the foundation of the world. He saw us. And he created Adam and Eve that they may give birth to others and give birth to us in this generation, that we might all know life and life more abundant in Christ, experiencing all that he is and all that he has out of union with him. But when mankind fell and sin entered into the world, sin entered into our nature, and our nature was corrupted. We were by nature children of wrath. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. Sin became the great destroying force. All human suffering, all human misery is a result of the presence of sin in this world and how it's impacted us, how it's impacted the way we behave towards others, how it's impacted our humanity, how it's impacted the way we respond to others. One of the things that we know is that when we're ministering to people to come into a place of freedom, the freedom that Jesus has already accomplished for them, because it says in Galatians 5, it was for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. says in Romans chapter 8, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death." So Christ came to set us free from the law of sin and death, and he already accomplished that. But because the enemy's a thief, he steals what belongs to us, and he blinds us to what Christ accomplished for us. And so when we do true ministry, true inner healing ministry, we're really helping a person to discover what's really true, what's real about them in light of the finished work of Christ, so that they can believe and break into personally, have a breakthrough into the freedom from the reign of sin that Jesus has already provided for them. Now, when people most of the time think about getting free from sin, they often think about it in terms of promising God they will do better, promising God they will try harder, making a fresh commitment, going to the altar rail, you know, surrendering again of everything they are, and then being more committed than ever before to have to not give in to that sin again. The problem is that by your own self-effort, you can never be free from sin's reign. Jesus set you free from sin's reign as a work of grace, a free gift at the cross. The person who was a slave to sin, that person that used to be, who was under the condemnation and guilt of sin, and who was enslaved by sin, that person died on the cross and was buried. And you were raised up in union with Jesus, no longer enslaved to sin, but Romans 6 says you were enslaved to God, that you were a slave of righteousness. You have a whole new nature. Your nature is the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been set free. And the Christ who lives in us by the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, as we simply trust in him, he applies that grace of victory to our moment-by-moment experience. This is what it says in Romans 6, verse 14. This is an amazing scripture. After describing in the first 13 verses of this chapter how Jesus accomplished our death to sin by our dying in him, he then says in verse 14, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law." Law just means your best effort, even sincere effort, to live a godly life, to live a life for God, to live to God. "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, under the obligation of the law to do your best to live to God, but you are now under grace." You are now under the dominance of grace. Jesus accomplished your victory 2,000 years ago by grace. The moment you were, quote, born again, the moment you believed and said yes to his finished work, you may not have worded it that way. You may have just prayed the prayer, "Lord Jesus, come into my life." But at that moment, what he accomplished for you became real in you and to you on an earth level. And it was all grace. And that grace of that victory is now deposited in you by the Holy Spirit in the person of Christ. And step by step, as we walk in faith, trusting grace, trusting in the absolute total work of him in my life, he applies that victory to my experience. It's really significant for us to understand that we can only be free from sin practically, temptation by temptation, as we look to Jesus. Grace means that God does it all as a free gift to whatever it might be. Forgiveness, acceptance, ability, victory. There's a place in 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who continually gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory is a person, not a formula. It's not something you can memorize. It's not something you can just decree and declare. Victory is a person, and Jesus Christ, who accomplished our victory, the one in whom I am in union with, that one, step by step, as temptation rises up in me, in that moment, I can simply thank him for his grace of victory, for his free gift of victory in that moment. And Jesus, in that moment, will apply to my circumstance, will apply to my temptation, the victory that he won for me 2,000 years ago, that he lives now in me, step by step. That's really important to hear. There's a verse in chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, I'll stop with this, about living to God and our connection to Jesus. It says, "For the death that he died," Jesus, He died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, you see, because I died in Christ and I rose in Christ on the third day, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we get to participate in Jesus' spiritual life. Jesus is our spiritual life. Jesus is our victorious life. And because we're no longer under the law, we're no longer under the burden, obligation of doing my best to try to live a life that's pleasing to God, I now get to live the life that Jesus lives to God because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And step by step, I just trust in His grace to live out in my experience the victory He accomplished for me 2,000 years ago. Again, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the dominion of the law. You are under grace. What a great thing to know that you're under the dominance of grace. And as long as you're trusting grace to dominate, you will walk in victory. Well, have a blessed day. I'll see you again tomorrow around noon. And I trust that you've enjoyed these short times together in the Word. My prayers that each one of you for the rest of this day will enjoy and experience the age to come kind of life, lived in the here and now by Him through you. Have a good afternoon.